Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the bear bow hunter's lifestyle. Welcome to the Bear Bow Hunter Podcast. In this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about backcountry bear bow hunting. And what I mean by that is backpacking with a bear bow. And mainly, this is for elk. I asked in the Bear Bow Hunter group what they would like to talk about on the next podcast. And this came up several times. I think people want to know what I take into the backcountry because I'm if you go over to our YouTube channel, Life Outdoors, you could see us in the backcountry a lot. And we stay out there and we try to stay in the backcountry. We don't like to pack in and out. It's just a lot more efficient. So we thought we'd make a podcast, or I thought I'd make a podcast, going over the gear and kind of the philosophy behind why I have the gear that I have. Because everybody has a little bit different take on things. But before we jump into that, I'm going to talk about what gets me there, what gets me out in the backcountry, and that is my boots. And the Lacrosse Ursa is the boot that I'm using now. And I'll tell you what, this boot is the perfect perfect midline between that real heavy boot that, you know, the leather mountaineering type boot and the light backpacking type boot. And it's got all the durability of the heavy boot, but yet it breathes as well as the backpacking type boot, and which is a huge thing for me because my feet are so bad about sweating that I usually take my boots off when I'm eating during lunch, or I'll wear Crocs in between, you know, when I'm driving places, and then put my boots on when I get there. But with these, I haven't had to do that. They really do have very good breathability. And it makes sense, you know, because Lacrosse has been at this for over 125 years. They put a lot of time and effort into this Ursa, and it was designed in collaboration with a bunch of hunters throughout Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, Nevada, and Utah. You know, the Western backcountry heavy pack kind of hunting. And It's really one of those kind of boots that I think when you start really working at it, this is what you would come up with. And Lacrosse has been doing this. They put over 5 years into the Ursa. And the way that they did this is they would just, if there was something that they needed to change within this 5 years time, they'd go back to the drawing board and change that thing. So through this collaboration with people and through all of that, you're creating a boot that is, I don't know. I think it's that great Western type boot. It just is really good. It's got features. So some of these things that they came up with, you know, is this Tech Tough infused leather. And, I didn't quite know what that was, you know, the Tech Tough infused leather until I really kind of started looking at it. And it's a very strong leather that doesn't seem to have a whole lot of stretch to it. And then it has the super fabric panels, which these super fabric panels allow this boot to breathe. I think that's the biggest thing about these boots, is being able to have that super stable boot and yet have those fabric panels. A lot of the fabric panel boots that I've used in the past, don't have, you know, the kind of structure that you want, but these sure do. And they're waterproof. They have a Gore-Tex liner. They have the full hex guard rubber rand, which is another thing that you don't find usually in a boot that this is this light, is that full rubber rand. And you got to have that. And the stuff that we're hunting, you got to have it. And the Ursa MS also features the Vibram mount outsole. So it's the mount type of a Vibram outsole. And it's got the molded footbed, which is, you know, it really feels good when you put these boots on. You can wear them around in town and everywhere. That's how they feel. It's got a lightweight EVA midsole. Now, this EVA midsole, this is a big deal too, because especially for us backpackers, because that's what provides the support when you're packing the heavy loads. And I don't know if you've ever had some boots that kind of wash out on you. Say, when you're coming downhill, a lot of times doing that side hill stuff, and that midsole kind of just pulls. So the whole boot just kind of washes out on you. I don't know if you've ever had that, but I have. And it's really, this boot won't do that. And then this boot, you guys, will give you every chance to get closer out there. It'll elevate your pursuit. It really will. A good pair of boots, it's amazing what it'll do for your hunting. And these boots are, I'll tell you, I'm very impressed. And I've wore a lot of different boots over the years. And I've tore up a lot of different boots over the years. So if you want to learn more about the lacrosse, about the Ursa, go to lacrossefootwear.com. Backslash, you know, the little backslash thing, Ursa, and check it out. Also, I'd like to add, the price point on these things is fantastic. I don't know that I've ever seen a boot at this price point perform like this. So go check it out, you guys. Now, and that's, these boots are what I'd be wearing into that. So that's the first thing that I'll talk about, is these boots. These are the boots that Gage and I and Chase are all wearing this year. And I'm wearing the charcoal and orange, which is cool. And Gage is wearing the brown and yellow. And so they come in two different colors, but that's what we're going to be wearing this year. So, you know, when we're going in the backcountry, that's the stuff that we have on for boots. From there, we're going in, and I'm going to tell you exactly the brand, exactly the model, and everything, and then I'll tell you why I'm using that. And you guys could supplement with your favorite brands of clothing and stuff like that, but these are the things that I think that you have to have in the backcountry. And I've chose what I've chose because, like Sitka clothing is something that I wear. I love Kuyu. But the fit on Kuyu is different for me. I'm kind of a squatty body, and Sitka seems to handle that a little bit better than the Kuyu. The Kuyu seems to be better for the tall, skinnier guys. And Kuyu's excellent stuff. I have Kuyu, and I really love it, but it just doesn't fit me quite as well as a Sitka. And between the two, I think they're pretty comparable. Now, there's some other ones out there I want to try. I want to try King's. I think that's a good company that is putting out some good stuff. That, you know, they're high end stuff, and there's some others out there that, you know, look pretty good. Stone Glacier, of course. I know some people that run Stone Glacier, but I like camouflage, so that's why I don't run Stone Glacier. But and anything that I don't need, Stone Glacier is a pretty cool company. But my clothing set, I only take one set of clothes with me in the woods. Okay, and. And like I said, it's Sitka is what I've been wearing. And the shirt that I've picked, I have three different shirts. I have a short sleeve, a long sleeve, and then a merino long sleeve hoodie. And these are just core shirts, right? And that's they're the core lights are the two merino. They're the core lights. And I wear that core light shirt riding my mountain bikes and everything else. It's so comfortable. I don't know. It feels like silk. And the reason that I like it is it dissipates that moisture really well. And I wear a long sleeve and I wear a short sleeve. I don't know. Between the two, I probably wear the short sleeves a little bit more. There is a point, though, where it's evaporating a lot of the moisture, so it keeps you cooler. When it's hot out there, the beginning of season, it'll be in the 80s and 90s. When it's like that, that shirt will keep you a little bit cooler. But, man, when it starts turning, you know, that mid-September when it starts turning, in the mornings, this shirt is a little bit chilly. so you have to put something over the top of it. Or switch to your merino. And merino is, I like merino better than any of it. I don't know if I can't say that. I like merino, but I think this, the core light, that core light, just the regular synthetic that Sitka has, I think it's a little bit cooler for the real hot weather. And then the merino is more temperature regulated for all weather. I don't know if that makes sense, but maybe I'll make a video on this and show you what I mean. And then I have the Core Merino with a hood, and I like the hoods when it starts turning a little bit colder. One of the things, too, is I sleep in my clothes. A lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people do that or not, but I like to sleep in my clothes. Sometimes I'll take my pants off, and I'll sleep in just my shirt. And there's nights when it gets cool enough that I pull that, just that extra layer over my head is really nice to have with me. So those are the three shirts that I'll have. And I usually take just one of those with me. I won't take them, all of them. But sometimes I'll take, like, the short sleeve, and then I'll take the merino with me. And I'll have those the two with me. It just depends on what I think is going to be happening up there. The next thing I'll have is my heavy hoodie. I have a heavyweight. It's you just go on Sika's website, and it's like a heavyweight hoodie. And it's got that waffle polar tech. And it's really warm. And everything I get, you guys, it's got to have a hood on it. I think the hood is a big deal, especially like when it gets cold and you want to sleep. That heavyweight hoodie shirt is awesome to sleep in. Matter of fact, I'm in the Air Guard, and they have what they call a sleep shirt. And it's made out of the same stuff. It doesn't have a hood on it, though, but that's what they use for. They call a sleep shirt. You better have a puffy with you. I have the Kelvin Aerolite, and that is the synthetic version of the Aerolite down. And I like it, or the Kelvin down. I like it, but next time I'm going back to down. And the reason is because the synthetic fibers break down a lot faster, and I love to wear my puffies everywhere. So I buy a puffy always in solid colors because, one, you very seldom are going to be hunting in that thing, and two, you just can't move in them without getting hot. And so, you know, I'll wear my heavyweight hoodie, or I'll wear, I'm going to get one of the new Core 320 Merinos that Sika put out. I'm going to get one of those too. And I may change out between that and the heavyweight hoodie, but, I'll just wear that during the day. If it's that, cool out, I'll just wear the hoodie. And the Aerolite is for camp, around camp, and then sleeping in sometimes. Sometimes I'll sleep in it. It's a big deal to get good stuff. I don't care what brand you get, but getting good clothing is a big deal out there. Now, when it comes to underwear, that is also, that's probably one of the most important things. And I used to wear nothing but merino wool, but man, I go through merino wool like it's going out of style when you're talking underwear. So I started looking for something else, and I found at Walmart of all places, a thing called Reebok Pro. And these are, you know, the regular boxer, but they're made out of something different. And they, you guys, I don't know about stink, but I always carry enough to cover the day, so I don't have to worry too much about it. But they are super, super, super comfy. And they're a lot cheaper, too, which is kind of, you know, that's when you're looking at things, like when you're buying merino, that's a lot of difference when you put in something that I think it's $12 for three pairs. You can't beat that. Go check them out. Also, if you don't want to wear Sika pants, those Walmart Rugged, I think they call them. They're Wranglers, but I think they're Rugged Wear or something like that. They're not bad either. They don't fit me right. They want to fall off. That's why I stick with my Sika pants. And for pants, what I get are the Transverse for that early season. There's a couple of new ones come out, and I'm going to try those. But for right now, man, the Traverse pant is a really good one. And I have two of those, and I only wear one. So I'm only wearing one group of clothing in as I'm going in. And I also keep a lightweight rain jacket, something that's going to keep me alive if I get stuck in the backcountry and it starts hailing and getting real cold. That's a big deal, you know, to have something to keep the rain off you and keep your core temperature up. Some people I've seen wear plastic bags, but I just don't want to rely on a plastic bag if it's that bad back there. I have been in snowstorms during bow season before, so it is a real thing. It can happen. Now, that's what I wear for clothing. The next thing is food. And everybody, you know, I do have mountain houses, and I do take mountain houses in sometime. But I found out that I'm eating less and less mountain houses. One, they're really expensive, and two, they fill you up so darn bad. So what I've switched to is I like to eat, I like to kind of graze while I'm hunting. That way I could keep a level blood sugar. And of course, I'm eating more sugars and stuff during that time of year. But one of the big things that I like to carry with me are almonds. I carry a pound of almonds with me. So this is like for 4 days. When I'm going into the backcountry, I go in for about 4 days. If you're not into elk in that 4 days time, then you're wasting time. So you're going to come back out and find somewhere else. Or if you are into elk, you probably should be able to get do real well within that 4 days. If not, then you could always come back out and reload and go back in. And that's stuff that I keep in the Suzuki is when I come out, I can reload and go back in. But so this is all about a 4 day period is what I'm talking about here. Okay. So this is different than say, if I was dropped off in Alaska, you know, for a 3 week or 2 week trip. This is just for me elk hunting the state of Oregon and the way that I hunt it. So, 1 pound of almonds. Almonds are very good. And I usually get them like wasabi or something like that that has extra salt, because you're going to need that extra salt out there. You're going to be sweating, especially first of the season. And you'd be surprised at what a handful of almonds will do for you. And then I take in 4 top ramens. I the saltiness of the top ramen is good. And then probably 1.5 pounds of jerky or 2 pounds. I make my own. So I'm eating jerky throughout the day. This is more of like your lunch stuff, or your day stuff. And then dried fruit. I eat a lot of dried fruit during the day. And I really like dried apples for some reason. I eat a lot of those. And then 1 pound of Mike and Ike's. You got to have that quick energy sometimes to keep you from bonking out there. And Mike and Ike's are quick energy. And some people say, well, I don't have sugar out there. Well, that's cool and all, but I'll tell you what, there's times when a Mike and Ike, or you could just give your buddy a Mike and Ike, and it raises everybody's, you know, when things are tough, sometimes that extra Mike and Ike is nice to have around to raise everybody's spirits. So that's kind of like what the stuff that I graze on during the day. But in the mornings when I get up, I like to have oatmeal. You know, the freeze-dried stuff, and you can get, you know, the instant stuff that's in the packages. And I eat 2 of those in the morning. And, I usually just go with the regular old maple and brown sugar, you know, or whatever. Whatever's actually cheapest at grocery outlet is what I usually get. But and then I have to have plenty of freeze-dried coffee. I used to take a coffee press in and do all that stuff, but I found out that if I'm going to be hunting, I don't need to be pressing coffee. And the freeze-dried stuff that's out there now, there's some good stuff out there. I was using full-draw coffee. They had a pour-overs, and I'd still use those. If you get those little pour-overs, those are awesome coffee, because the coffee is that much better. I also do take some powdered creamer with me, you know, just to, you know, you have little things that lighten you up in the woods. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more I look towards those little comforts. And I think that's what keeps us going sometimes. Sometimes it keeps our attitude in a good spot. Now for dinners, I do either rice. You know, you could go in and get rice-a-roni, and then you just take it out of the box, throw the box away, put it in Ziploc bags. Rice-a-roni, and I get them in all different flavors. And then, like, I'll get the chicken, and then I'll take some of that packaged chicken that's in the envelopes, you know, the little, like in the tuna envelopes, and I'll take that with me, and I'll throw the chicken in with the chicken rice. Or I'll have, you know, the Spanish is another one that I really love. And then before the season, I dehydrate hamburger. So you can dehydrate hamburger, and it's going to last as long as jerky will. And then you dehydrate hamburger, and you just put that in your pack, and then you add that into the rice as you're cooking it. Now, the bummer thing about this is it does dirty up your dishes. So it's not like a mountain house where you – but the cool thing about it is you don't have a bunch of Mountain House packages you got to pack around with you. So it's a trade-off. Yeah, you got to wash your dishes. And yeah, it is more water intensive. So where we hunt, man, where we're hunting elk, though, we're around water all the time. So water's really not an issue for us. I guess if you're like mule deer hunting in Colorado or something like that, you might want to, you know, make sure that you're getting as much out of your water as you can. We honestly don't think that much about it. We whine when we're, you know, half an hour away from water when we're hunting. So it is a lot more water intensive. You know, when you're boiling water and putting rice in it to make it, it is. And it takes a little bit longer to prep. But I'm talking at night around when you don't have a whole lot else to do anyhow. You're getting ready for bed and you don't quite want to go to bed, you know. It's you know, that 9 o'clock time. But at the same time, it's easy to sit there and cook and talk and then, you know, get a good meal out of it. But so I like all the different rices. Another thing that I do to keep myself, you know, in the military, they call that, meal fatigue or taste fatigue, is if you have the same thing over and over and over again. And it's actually a real thing. It's actually something where people will quit eating. But one of the things that I'll do is I'll get the freeze-dried mashed potatoes and then do the same thing with those, put the hamburger in them. And you're looking about 500 calories with the potatoes and with the rice. And then you put the hamburger in, you're adding probably another 200. So you're talking 700 calories right there. And then you have almonds, which are high in calories, and you have all this other stuff. It'll keep you going, man. And I go in the woods with plenty of fat on me. Some of you guys don't, I know, but I do. And so this is enough to hold me over. I don't, you know, when I really start working like that, man, I don't want a full Mountain House. I just don't. The one thing that I do really miss is the eggs in the morning. I do like a Mountain House eggs. So sometimes I'll throw some of those in, but that's pretty much all I take when I'm taking for food. And it's a pretty cool way of doing it, you guys, and it's cheap. I'll tell you right now, one of those rice things is a dollar, and then you add just a little bit of hamburger, you're talking $2 a meal. Same with the potatoes, and it's good. I'm you know, like the garlic herb potatoes are really, really good. So there's a lot of good food in there that I'm telling you that. And I need to make some videos on this, because a lot of people think that they have to have certain things when they go in. You really don't. There's a lot of different things that you could take with you that don't cost an arm and a leg, and is good calories, good food for you out there in the woods. So that's pretty much the food that I take. Sometimes, you know, so I get Gatorade, and then I take it and I put it. You got to have sodium. You're going to be sweating it out. If you don't, I've had days where I didn't take in enough sodium when I was out there, and I was sweating and sweating and sweating, and I just get cramps really bad and just didn't feel like doing anything. You got to have those electrolytes. So Gatorade is pretty cool, and I buy it in bulk. I drink Gatorade at home. I buy it in bulk. I put it in a plastic bag and just take it with you, and then just mix it into your water. And then, of course, spices. And like I said, it's important to have spices out there. And you can, of course, take your spices. We have a lot of spices at the house, and I just throw it all in a plastic bag, and that's all my food. I'll pack all that stuff in. I have these, and we're going to jump into this next, but my mess kit. But I have these stackable GSI stackable cups. And so that middle cup, the one that's in the middle that's still open, I throw all this stuff in that. So all my spices and my coffee and all that will stay in there so it doesn't rattle around, and it's protected. And so I guess that'll move us right into my mess kit. I have the MSR Pocket Rocket 2. That's the stove that I use. And I have an old, old, old Coleman Peak One. Boy, I bet you it came from, I remember when the Peaks came out in the 80s. And so it's a box that the Peak was in, but it folds out and then it becomes a pot, and it's got a little holder so you could grab it with the grabbers and not burn yourself. But then you have two, you have like a deep pot and like a skillet with this setup. And a lot of times I'll just use the skillet to drink out of if I'm sharing coffee with somebody who doesn't have a cup, or I'll you know, fry stuff in it. You know, you find some shoot a grouse or find some mushrooms out there during spring bear season, spring bear, and I'll fry stuff in it. But that system has worked really good for me because you could fit your stove, your canister, your lighter, the holder, and a set of matches in that whole thing. You could fit the whole thing in that mess kit. So it works really good for me, and it folds up about the size of, it's smaller, I think, than say a jet boil. It's quite a bit smaller than a jet boil. But it is all aluminum if you don't want to eat out of aluminum. As little as I eat out of aluminum, I don't think it hurts me. But, you know, you probably don't want to do it every day straight out of that aluminum. And then my little spork. I have a GSI foldable spork that I use. I don't know if you guys have ever used those GSI forks or anything GSI, but GSI is a really cool company. And I use a lot of their stuff because it's actually doesn't cost them very much. That's the reason I use it. So that's pretty much my setup for my mess kit. Now, my sleeping system is a 15-degree Nemo bag. And the reason I went with a Nemo, excuse me. The reason I went with a Nemo is it's shaped like a football. I don't know if you guys handle mummy bags. I can't. I got to have some movement. But it's not so much movement that you get cold. Like I said, it's shaped like a football. And then the cool thing about the Nemo, too, is you could unzip the sides to dump heat. So if you get too hot, you could unzip the sides and dump heat. And it's a down bag, and it folds up really, really small. But the one thing bad about down, guys, and I didn't say this about the Aerolite jacket either, but this is another thing about the Aerolite, like your puffy jackets. The only bad thing about down is when it loses its loft, it gets cold. So you have essentially, in a down bag, zero insulation underneath you. So you better make sure that you get a good sleeping bag, because that pad is what's going to insulate you, not the bag at all. Same with your puffy. If you're going to put your puff, like a rain jacket over the top of your puffy, say it's snowing or whatever, you better have every place that it pushes down on that is going to get cold spots. That's why I went with the synthetic down rather than the regular down. But in the bag, it folds up so small and light that it makes a lot of sense. And I have, so that having that bag, and I had a Climic pad that I love really well. Those are great pads to sleep on, but it was uninsulated. So, I mean, even in the back part of September, I would start freezing. So I just recently changed to the Big Agnes Q Core Deluxe. It's the insulated version, and they say you could sleep on snow in this thing, but I don't know. And it's the Q Core too. So if you're a side sleeper like I am, it's got little baffles in it. That's the big thing about side sleepers. You got to have enough baffles that it doesn't just blow all the air off to the sides and then leave you on the ground. So this Q Core Deluxe, it's the 25x72 inch, and it is absolutely plush. It's about 3.5 inches thick, and it retains most of that when you're laying on it. So it's really, really a good. If I was going to buy, if I was looking at things, my pad would probably be higher. Would be a better pad, and you got to really be careful when you buy pads. Make sure you just do your research. It would be higher quality than my sleeping bag. I just think it's that much more important to keep you warm and to keep you comfortable. And the sleeping bags, you know, you can get away with quite a bit more in a sleeping bag. The only big thing about sleeping bags by buying cheaper ones is they just get bigger. And, you know, I would definitely look into the shape of them. There's some good quality backpacking rectangular ones out there, too. But my favorite is definitely the bag that I have. It's really comfortable. Now, for and then I do have a Rapid IDSL, a Big Agnes Rapid IDSL pillow. And my sleeping bag, the cool thing about those Nemos, they got a little pillow spot, so you can put the pillow in the bag so it won't keep falling out of there. So it's got like a pocket where you can put your pillow in, which is really cool. Now for a tent, I'm using a cheap old Alps Lynx 1, and it's big enough for your bag and or your sleeping bag, and that's it. And then the vestibule, you can put your backpack underneath. It's a little tent, but it works fantastic. And I think it's probably heavier than what it should be, being, you know, that it's cheap. But I'll tell you what, I've had that thing. I've used it for probably six seasons, and I've not had it in snow. So I don't know, you know, completely if it'll work great in snow or not. But I have had it in some rain and then some real heavy dew and stuff like that, where, you know, the stuff that you're going to be in during elk season, elk bug season, man, I tell you, it'll hold up to all of that. It doesn't, it breathes real well. It's a two-walled tent, and it sits up quite a ways, and it's got vents. It breathes really well. That's a huge deal when you're talking these small tents. If you get a small tent and it doesn't breathe well in the morning, you're going to have drips on you, and that, there's nothing worse than putting gear away that's half damp and then getting it back out and it's damp. It's just, it's not much fun. So that's what I use. It's a little heavier, of course. Some things that I use are a little bit heavier, but my pack is probably right in around 45 pounds altogether, and that's for 4 days. I rarely don't go over 4 days. That's what I have kind of for my sleep and my tent system. Then I go to my first aid, which is, you know, just the basic toiletries and stuff, right? Not just first aid, but basic toiletries. And one big thing that I do have is a blood sponge. You never know what could happen out there. And I do know that if you blood sponge something and then, you know, tourniquet over it or whatever you have to do, you could save somebody's life real quick with a sponge. And when I'm talking a blood sponge, it has the coagulant in it that will make your, they even use them on like amputees. They'll put this over the top of the amputee and it makes it stop bleeding. So it's one of those things that may save a life. Tenacious tape, gotta have it. Gotta have tenacious tape with you. I have used tenacious tape for everything from closing up a wound to fixing my tent poles to fixing my my puffy. Tenacious tape is something you cannot go in the woods without. Tenacious tape. I carry a second lighter in my first aid kit, so I have two lighters, and then I carry waterproof matches as well. That is probably a big deal, is to make sure that you have fire. And I'm not this guy that's out there going to rub sticks together and things like that. I don't have time. I'm hunting. Someday it'd be fun to go out and do all that, but for right now, I'm hunting. And then I carry a Sawyer water filter and four of the little Sawyer packs. And the way that I differentiate between the packs is I have one clean one. And I'm actually probably going to go to Nalgene this year because I'll just keep all my Sawyer packs as dirty. And the reason I say that is because, one, you can measure out of the Nalgene a lot better than the Sawyer packs. But you could drink out of the Nalgene and just keep that for your clean water. And then all of my, like when I'm cooking for dinner and stuff, I don't cook out of clean water. I don't use my clean water. I don't use my filtered water. And the reason I don't is because you're going to boil it anyhow. And the water sources, unless, you know, the water source is nasty or something, then I got to filter it. But 90% of the water I don't filter. Even when I drink my coffee, I just boil it. And I'll tell you what, it saves you so much time doing it that way. And what you do is you take, and so like this year, all of my bags will be dirty bags. But in the years past, I'd have one clean bag and it had the white cap that the other one that they come with. And then I'd put regular bottle caps on the other one. So like green, red, or whatever color, because they're the same as a 2-liter bottle cap. And so I put those that on the other ones. And then I know that those are the dirty bags. And the reason that I do this I used to filter everything. I'd take the time and do that. But anymore, water, when I grab it, you always will have time to filter it later. You don't always have time to filter it right then and there. So I just grab water when I'm there at the water source, creeks, springs. I really try to stay within creeks and springs. Sometimes if I'm at a lake, I'll put some water in from a lake, but I normally want filter. I want to get, there's enough around Elks, you know, but then I'll just keep that with me and then I'll filter it later if I need it filtered. About the only thing to filter water for anymore is, the Gatorade. That's about it. Or drinking straight water. So, yeah, and I carry four, so I want to have a gallon and a half of water. So there's a couple places where we hunt where we're on top of a ridge where there is no water, and I want to be able to take enough water up there to make sure that everybody's got some water. If somebody forgets, I don't know. I guess I hunt with a bunch of younger guys, and you know how they are. They forget those kind of things because I've been doing it for them forever. But I like to have my coffee. If I want two or three cups of coffee in the morning, that takes a lot of water. So I like to have my coffee. So I'm always making sure that I got plenty of water with me. Now, for the hunt kill kit, so I'm going to put all this together. This is like my hunt and kill kit, okay? So it's all the extra stuff that I need. Of course, I'm carrying my arrows in a quiver on the bow. And I'm, a lot of times when I'm back in the backcountry, I'm using one of those little 50 styles recurves. Really short one. My shortest one's 54 inches, which is perfect for what I do. And then for my meat bags, I'm carrying those 6 a.m. Meat bags. I want to get some born and raised, but man, have you guys seen how to get those? The minute they come in, they get sold out, and they are the cat's meow. But for right now, I'm using the 6 a.m., and they work. You know, they're not the born and raised bags, but they work. As far as knives, I carry one of those Outdoor Edge replaceables, and I carry 5 blades with me. I could get through the last elk that I did with one of those, and I did the whole complete elk, other than the cape. Kevin did the cape, but I did the complete elk with 2 of those blades. And if you know what you're doing, breaking down an elk, the gutless method, it's really easy. You don't need a saw. You don't need a hatchet. And I hear about all this stuff. You don't need all that. If you know how to cut off around the joints and you know how to cut, you know, the meat off, that's, you don't need all that. I got through it with 2, and that's that little 3.5-inch blade. But I also like to carry extra knives with me. I don't want to rely on that because I don't know if you looked at them. I've never had one. I've never had an issue with it, but it seems like it's not that heavy duty. So I want to make sure that I have something to cut with out there. I do carry a multi-tool with me. Probably don't have to, but I do carry it. I have the Leatherman Mutt for AR-15s. It's a really cool tool. It's got a really good blade. That's the reason I like that one. And it's got a little saw. I don't know. I've used the saw on wood. So that's what I've used the saw for. And then I carry my everyday carry knife, which is a Spyderco, and I carry that. And then, of course, I have my my Worksharp guide sharpener. And so it's that portable one that has the 2 sides in it. And you could put, I put a bowstring inside of it. And then it's got a broadhead wrench, which I don't really need, but some people like those broadhead wrenches. And it's just a very good, you could strope your broadheads with it. And you could, so I use it for both my broadheads and my knives. And I love it. That thing is so, it was so needed when it came out. So it's in my pack at all times. And even during day hikes, I take that thing with me. And if I had to, you know, I could clean an elk and then midway through, touch it up with that. It's perfect for that kind of stuff. I also carry this miniature roll that I got at the Army Navy store of this cordage. And I can't remember, I think it's micro cord, I think they call it. But it's 200 pound test microcord, and I have 500 feet of this stuff on a spool about, inch and a half, 2 inches. And so, like, if you want to raise or if you want to hang a quarter up while you're taking the other quarters off, hanging on a tree, this stuff works great. And you could pack tons of it with you. Say you have to hang a tarp, or say you have to pull one of the legs up while you're taking. If you do it by, if you've ever pulled an elk apart by yourself, you're doing a lot of tying up of legs and things like that to help get it off. Anyhow, this thing's awesome. This I think it's called Microcord, and it's 200 pounds and really good stuff. I take an extra glove with me. Of course, some extra broadheads sometimes, depending on what's going on. I'll throw, you know, like a 3-pack in. And then, of course, an extra string. And that goes in my work sharp usually. My front pack. So I wear a front pack, you know, like a little bino harness pack thing. And in it, of course, I'll have my wind check. You got to have wind check. And then in my other pack, I'll put my, you know, like my face paints and stuff like that. But, it's the wind check is probably one of the most important things I carry. We use that all the time. And, you get to where in certain spots, you get to know where you kind of know the wind, but that is probably the most important thing you could do is figure out what that wind's doing. And then in that, I'll have all my calls up front. I have, you know, born and raised external read calls. I have all of my I have a bendable call patch that goes on my strap. And then so I have all my calls right there. And mainly we're using the Land of Free by Born and Raised Call Company and the Reason. Those are the two big diaphragms that we're using with the bomb tube. With the born and raised bomb tube, and they may not work for you though. I'll tell you this is everybody's different on that. So don't just go buying a bunch of those without trying them out. My suggestion is go get the pack. They have a trial pack that has one of each. Try those because that'll tell you what you really want. We just like blowing really hard and really loud. So we always try to get the heaviest latex at the tightest stretch. And that seems to be the best fit for Gage and I. And we carry at least six of them. They're easy to blow out, man. So you always want to carry, and I rotate them pretty often because I don't know if you guys have ever done it, but that latex will stretch back and then the call will blow again pretty well. So if we rotate through them, we don't wear them out nearly as bad. That's pretty much it for my kill kit and my hunting stuff. Man, I can't think of anything else that we take with us. Now, we're packing some camera stuff that most people don't pack. We have an A6400. That's what we pack. And then I have a tripod that I pack with me. And I'm using it less and less. I'm going to start probably figuring out something different for a tripod because it's nice to have that camera on a tripod at certain times. But at the same time, that tripod's a pain in the neck to run through the woods with. So, we're probably looking at something, doing something different there, but I do carry a solar panel with me. I carry the Goal Zero, Nomad 7, and you can plug that sucker in and then plug it into a battery and then just have it on your back as you're walking through and you could charge up a battery as you're going. And the batteries that we have will charge our cameras and our phones. And we use our phone cameras quite a bit, but the A6400 has a charge port on the side that you could charge off of an external battery, plus all the five batteries that I take with it, the A6400 batteries. I take five of them with me. Especially when it starts getting cold, you're going to go through batteries really fast when it starts getting cold. I carry two of those great big brick-type batteries, and that I could charge my phone and whatever I need to charge off of it. And then I carry a lens of 50, and I carry an 18 and 120. And the 50 is a 1.8 lens, so it's a fancy that, you know, that's when I get the stuff that, like, a lot of the cool B-roll and stuff like that. So that's pretty much it, what I carry out in the woods. But I thought it would be interesting for you guys because, like I said, I'm only out there for about 4 days. And if you haven't got into elk, then you're spending way too much time there. You need to get out of there. Or got into, you know that there's elk there. Like, there's good sign. There's times when I've been in places where there's a lot of elk around. But for some reason, I just don't have them figured out, and I'm at the wrong time at the wrong place. And so sometimes you'll stay in on those times. But most time you've already blown it a couple times or killed one within that 4 days time, or you need to get out of there. So that's really what I do, is I just worry about that 4 days. And then in the Suzuki, I'll keep a bunch of stuff so I could move and then resupply and go back in. And what I keep in the Suzuki is I have a bigger stove, so I don't use my backpack stuff when I'm out. And then I use that bigger stove. It's faster, and you can cook more on it. But it's still small. It's still something I can put in the Suzuki in a box. And then I'll have a cooler in there with fresh food and some dry ice. And, you know, it's nothing's better than coming out and having a steak that you, you know, after you've been in for 4 days eating that rice and freeze-dried hamburger. It's nice to have a steak and, you know, some vegetables and things like that. And you could do that and maybe adult beverage or two. And then I'll have an extra pair of clothes there so I could just swap those out, so I don't have to stay in the same clothes. I'll just have, and so, you know, and I don't swap out like my jackets and things like that. So, but I do swap out like underwear and my outerwear. So I'll always have an extra waiting on me there. And then if it gets real bad, you could take half a day off, go wash all of it, and then you have all of it ready to go again. I have an extra pair of socks. Oh, and I didn't mention socks. I have to wear merino. For some reason, I wear merino socks, and Grip 6 are really good socks, really good. I've wore some other merino brands out there, but Grip 6 is one that I really like. and then an extra set of boots just in case. I mean, I had a pair of boots that I spent a lot of money for, a really well-named pair of boots, and I ripped those things out on the sides, and I was like, thank goodness I had another pair of boots in the truck or in the Suzuki, or else I might have to go all the way home, get a pair of boots, and come back. And that's not something you want to do. When you could leave all this stuff in the rig, and you're ready to go there. I'll have rope in there. And you never know what you might need it for. And then I'll have extra bags, and then like a 5 gallon thing of water, just extra water. And that's what I'll leave there in the rig. So those are all just kind of like little tips that I've learned over the years of hunting the backcountry and going into the backcountry. And I just kind of wanted to share that with you guys. If you guys have any questions, please leave them anywhere that you're listening to this. You can leave a question there. You could go to, Barebow Hunters, our, it's not a forum, it's a group on Facebook. You could even email me, go to our website at The Life Outdoors and email me from there. Or you could even get a hold of me on Instagram. But don't let any questions, if you have a question, and if I can help you get out there and I can help you get after it with your bear bow, I want to help. So any question that you have, feel free to shoot. And other than that, I just really thank you guys for listening to this. I thank you for supporting Barebow Hunters and The Life Outdoors. And you can help support us as well. If you're looking for a cool hat for this year, we got some hats on the website and things like that that you can help support us with. So with that said, I think I'm going to jump out of here. And I think that gives you a good list of what to get out with. And, of course, give those – if you don't have a boot yet, you better be getting after it, for one. But for two, I would look at those Ursas. I'm really impressed. So, with that said, I hope you guys shoot straight and get after those elk this year. And we'll talk to you next week. And thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Barebow Hunter Podcast. Remember, we couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, backcountry hunters and anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Barebow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Barebow Hunters, like us,
and hashtag all of your photos with your Bear Bow goodness in them. Bear Bow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.